All right, let's dive deep into Isaiah today.
Sounds good.
We've got Dr. Marv Wilson with us. He's
yeah.
like the expert on the prophets.
A true scholar.
And he did this session on Isaiah, so we're going to unpack some of that.
Okay.
It's really fascinating stuff, like how it connects to social justice and finding hope, you know, even in the midst of tough times.
You know, even for folks who aren't super familiar with the Bible, Isaiah's words still resonate.
Yeah, for sure.
They really speak to those deep human experiences we all face.
So one thing that struck me was how Dr. Wilson talked about Jesus using Isaiah, like to kick off his ministry.
Right.
He stood up in the synagogue and read from Isaiah 61,
uh-huh.
which is all about this liberation and good news, especially for those who are oppressed.
Yeah. And it wasn't just a casual reading.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big deal to stand while reading scripture. It showed the weight of those words.
Like real authority.
Exactly.
Plus, he was probably doing a Haftarah reading. So, like, connecting the prophetic text with the Torah portion for that day.
Weaving it all together for a deeper meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that passage from Isaiah 61, it's all about freedom for captives.
Uh-huh.
Literally and spiritually.
Powerful stuff.
And it really lays the groundwork for Jesus' whole ministry, you know?
Right.
Caring for the marginalized, preaching hope.
Challenging the powers that be.
Exactly.
Okay, here's what I found interesting, though.
Hmm.
Dr. Wilson points out that Jesus actually stops reading Isaiah 61.
Oh, yeah.
Like, before it gets to the part about vengeance.
Uh-huh. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. It made me think maybe Jesus was focusing on a specific aspect in God at that point.
Like God's grace in the beginning of a new era.
Right. The messianic age.
Yeah. A time for spiritual liberation.
But, like, there's still more to come, right?
Exactly.
That day, the vengeance part.
Hmm. That's still in the future.
So it's like a two-part story saying, here's the good news, but there's more to unfold.
Right.
And that connects back to social justice, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Because Isaiah 61 also ties into that year of Jubilee thing.
Yeah.
It was all about restoring balance and justice.
Like hitting the reset button for society.
Debts forgiven, slaves set free, land returned.
It was pretty revolutionary.
So Jesus invoking Isaiah 61, he's tapping into that deep desire for liberation on a personal level and a societal level.
Exactly.
Wow, this is really making me think differently about the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just rules. It's about wrestling with these huge questions.
Like life, death, and nature of God.
Exactly.
And speaking of wrestling with big questions, what about that idea of shalom in Isaiah?
Yeah, it's often translated as peace.
Right.
But it sounds like there's more to it.
It's definitely deeper than just a feeling.
So Dr. Wilson uses Isaiah 26.3 as an example.
Yeah, that one uses shalom twice.
Keeps them in perfect peace, right?
Whose mind is stayed on thee.
But it also connects shalom with God being a rock.
The eternal rock.
So it's about stability, wholeness.
Integration, yeah.
So shalom is more like a state of being.
Uh-huh. Like a foundation.
Even when everything's chaotic around you.
Exactly. And without shalom,
what happens?
Everything falls apart.
You lose that sense of wholeness.
It's interesting. Even the name Jerusalem, it has roots in shalom.
Really?
It was connected to a Canaanite god, Salim.
I've never heard of him.
He represented peace and health.
Wow, the city with so much conflict actually has peace in its name.
It's like this paradox.
We strive for peace, but create conditions that prevent it.
Hmm. That reminds me of that part where people ask Isaiah to tone it down.
Oh, yeah. In Isaiah 10 and 11.
They're like, stop with the vision. Stop preaching righteousness.
Just tell us pleasant things.
They wanted comfort over truth.
Like a comforting lie.
It makes you wonder if we do the same today.
Hmm. Avoiding tough conversations.
Or challenging our own beliefs.
Just to keep things comfortable.
But Isaiah, he wasn't afraid to speak truth to power. He knew true peace couldn't come from ignoring reality.
And, you know, Dr. Wilson also mentioned that the idea of the gospel, like the good news, it actually predates the New Testament.
That's right.
He pointed to Isaiah 40.9, the Hebrew word bizer.
Uh-huh. Back then it announced victories.
Like in battle.
Yeah. Or other joyous occasions.
Like a messenger bringing good news.
Exactly. News of triumph and celebration.
So that concept of good news, deliverance.
It was already there in ancient Israel.
And the New Testament writers, they took that idea and applied it to Jesus's victory.
Over death. And sin, the ultimate victory.
Like a beautiful connection between the Old and New Testaments.
It shows how God's story of redemption runs through history.
But there's this unfortunate pun that came later.
Oh, yeah.
Because of tension between Christians and Jews.
Uh-huh.
Some called the gospel the wicked scroll.
It's a reminder to approach these conversations carefully.
With sensitivity and understanding.
Yeah.
Speaking of sensitivity, Dr. Wilson also talks about Isaiah's literary style, specifically that chiastic structure.
Oh, yeah, chiastic.
I've heard of it, but I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
It's that pattern.
Oh, right.
You start with a concept.
Uh-huh.
introduce contrasting ideas.
And then you mirror them back in reverse order.
Exactly.
It's like a literary sandwich.
With the main point in the middle.
And Isaiah used this.
He was a master of it.
One of the most famous examples is Isaiah 29.13.
The one Jesus quoted.
Honoring God with your lips, but all your heart.
Yes. A powerful statement about hypocrisy.
And it's still so relevant today.
Absolutely.
The way Isaiah uses chiasm there, it highlights the difference between outward actions and inward sincerity.
Like he's putting up a mirror.
To our own tendency to put on a show.
Yeah.
What would Isaiah say about faith today?
Good question.
Would he see that same gap?
Between words and actions.
It makes you think.
It does.
And you know what else Dr. Wilson mentioned? The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Ah, those ancient manuscripts.
They've actually helped us understand Isaiah better.
Oh, yeah.
I know they're a big deal for scholarship.
They are.
But I don't really get why.
Okay, well, let me explain. So, Dr. Wilson, he uses Isaiah 33.8 as an example.
Okay.
Older translations, based on later manuscripts, they talk about cities being despised.
Okay.
You know, when a treaty's broken.
Yeah, I remember that.
But the Dead Sea Scrolls,
right,
they have earlier versions of the text.
Okay.
And they actually say witnesses are despised.
Not cities.
Not cities.
So just one word changes the whole meaning.
Exactly.
But why is that so important?
Well, think about it.
Okay.
In those days, treaties often had witnesses.
To make sure everyone kept their promises.
Exactly, for accountability.
Right.
So if a treaty was broken, the witnesses would be ignored, maybe even persecuted.
Wow, that makes more sense.
It fits the historical context better.
That's really interesting.
And it shows how these old scrolls...
Yeah.
Can help us clarify even well-known passages.
It also says something about how accurate the Bible is.
Right.
Like copied by hand for centuries.
Uh-huh.
But still so few variations.
The Dead Sea Scrolls show how carefully they treated the text.
Although the Isaiah we read today.
Yeah.
It's basically the same Isaiah Jesus would have known.
Pretty amazing.
It's like we're connecting across time.
I love that.
And, you know, one of the most powerful images in Isaiah, it's that vision of a highway.
Oh, yeah. Connecting Egypt and Assyria.
Those ancient enemies.
Constantly at odds.
And Israel was always caught in the middle.
Right in the crossfire.
It's hard to imagine them finding common ground.
Yeah. Well, Isaiah, he envisions this future with a highway from Egypt to Assyria.
Okay.
And people from all three nations, they can travel freely and worship together.
That's incredible.
He even calls Israel a blessing.
In the midst of all this unity.
Yeah, instead of being a victim,
they've become a bridge
for peace and reconciliation.
It's a radical idea, given all the conflict back then.
Absolutely.
It makes you think about what it means to be a blessing in our own world, right?
In our own divided world, yeah.
How can we build bridges instead of walls?
Is the question, isn't it?
This whole deep dive has been eye-opening.
Really?
I'm seeing the Old Testament differently now.
It's not just ancient history.
It's alive.
It speaks to our struggles today.
And offers hope.
That's the beauty of Scripture.
Yeah.
It transcends time and culture.
Makes you think about the big questions.
Challenges us.
And ultimately gives us hope.
Even in the midst of chaos.
So to everyone listening out there, we encourage you to explore Isaiah.
See what you discover.
You might be surprised.
And as you explore, think about this.
Okay.
That highway in Isaiah's vision.
Connecting enemies.
With Israel as a blessing in the middle.
What does that say about peace?
In our own divided world.
It's a powerful question.
It really is.
And maybe as we wrestle with these ancient words, find ourselves drawn closer
to that vision
fullness
for everyone.
On that note,
we'll
leave you to ponder those possibilities.
Keep diving deep.
Keep seeking truth.
And keep believing in hope.
Until next time.
Dr. Wilson, he talks about how this one little word change makes such a difference in the meaning. You know, in ancient times, treaties often had witnesses to ensure accountability.
Oh, right, right.
So when a treaty was broken, those witnesses, they would be disregarded.
They'd be persecuted even, right?
Exactly, yeah. And it makes a lot more sense in the historical context.
That's really cool. So we're seeing how these ancient scrolls, they can clarify things for us.
Absolutely, yeah. And they also speak to the accuracy of the biblical text.
Yeah, because think about it, copied by hand for centuries.
And yet, very few variations.
The Dead Sea Scrolls show just how meticulous they were.
You know? Right, yeah.
So we can be pretty confident that what we're reading today is essentially the same Isaiah from back then.
Exactly, yeah.
The same one Jesus would have read. It's like we're connecting across time.
That's a beautiful way to put it, yeah. And it leads us to one of the most powerful images in Isaiah.
Okay, which one's that?
His vision of a highway connecting Egypt and Assyria.
Oh, wow. Those were like the superpowers back then, right?
Exactly. Constantly at odds. And Israel was always caught in the middle.
It's hard to imagine them finding common ground.
Yeah, but Isaiah, he envisions this future where there's a highway, a highway from Egypt to Assyria.
Okay.
And people from all three nations, they can travel freely. They can even worship together, he said.
Ah.
And he even describes Israel as a blessing in the midst of this unity.
So instead of being a victim, they're like a bridge.
Exactly. A bridge for peace and reconciliation.
It's a radical vision, considering all the warfare back then.
It really is. It makes you think, you know, about what it means to be a blessing today.
In our own world, yeah.
How do we build bridges instead of walls? You know, how do we choose understanding over animosity?
Those are questions we all need to be asking. This deep dive into Isaiah has been really eye-opening.
I'm glad to hear that.
You know, I'm seeing the Old Testament in a whole new way now.
That's wonderful.
It's not just ancient history. It's a living word.
It seems to us today. It
offers hope.
It does, even in the midst of all the chaos.
So to anyone listening out there, we really encourage you to explore Isaiah for yourselves.
You might be surprised by what you discuss.
You really might. And as you explore, we want you to consider this. What does Isaiah's vision of a highway connecting those historical enemies with Israel as a blessing right in the middle, what does that say about the possibility of peace in our own divided world today?
It's something
to think about.
It really is.
And maybe as we grapple with these ancient words, you know,
yeah,
we'll find ourselves drawn closer to that vision of shalom.
To wholeness.
And peace for everyone.
Beautiful.
Well, on that note, we'll leave you to ponder those possibilities. Until next time, keep diving deep, keep seeking truth, and keep believing in the enduring power of hope.